Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on December 13th, 2018, right? Can you believe it? We're almost a year.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. You love it?
End of the year, man.
End of the year.
End of the year.
But
things get loosey-goosey around here at the end of the year. Yeah. Everybody starts thinking about other things, man. We can go do what we want. It's like, woo-hoo, we're going to party.
Yeah, exactly.
Let it loose on the air. Michael, as you say, it is December 13th, and there is a lot exciting going on this time of year, including some great theater right here in our own backyard.
Yeah, absolutely, Andrew. We are so happy to have with us the star of the hilarious one-man show. Here's Johnny with us in studio today. Please give him a warm welcome. Johnny Ferretti is here.
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, thank you, everybody. Thank you. Wow, we have a lot of people in the
audience. We're busting it.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit down. Oh, Johnny, do they follow you everywhere, man?
They do, yeah.
Unbelievable. Hey, great to have you here. Thanks for joining us today.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool. Well,
my pleasure.
Will obviously talk more with Johnny just a little bit more later in the show. But
exactly.
We are also very, very excited to be joined via telephone by the star of the off-Broadway sensation Dixie's Tupperware Party and native of Mobile, Alabama. Our first guest discovered the wonderful world of Tupperware parties in 2001 and soon became one of the nation's top sellers.
She soon caught the eye of some New York theater producers who moved her Tupperware Party from the living room to the stage.
That's right. Her hilarious off-Broadway hit in its 11th touring season has logged over 1,300 performances worldwide, bringing homespun wisdom and hilarity to audiences from New York to Australia.
Margaret Gray of the Los Angeles Times said, "Dixie's Tupperware Party is a sweet homage to the inventiveness and tenacity of the human spirit. When you encounter a performer with comic timing, this effortless and charismatic, this potent, you have to just sit back and let her roll over you like a steamroller in a blue dress and bouffant wig." On the phone now, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome the funniest Tupperware lady ever. Give it up for Dixie Longgate.
That's right. Dixie, welcome.
Dixie, are you there?
Dixie, I do appreciate that. Everybody's been I've been here in Los Angeles for 2 weeks now. We got 3 more weeks to go. And I tell you, people are so sweet here. You're just one of the most wonderful people. They want to rub on your leg like a dog looking for peanut butter. It's just so neighborly.
Has that actually happened? Or how often does that happen to you?
Oh, too often that you can even count.
Okay.
You know, from the South, I have more fingers than most. So, I mean, even on two hands, I can't count that high with all these people being so nice to me.
Well, thanks a lot, Dixie. Now I'm going to want peanut butter for the rest of the show. I really appreciate that.
Oh, it's delicious. Well, that's why I named my dog Skippy Chunky, because that's his favorite kind. Because sometimes when you drop it on the floor or your leg or wherever, he's licking it and licking it. He's just an angel, that little one.
Now, what's your puppy's name?
It's Skippy Chunky. I named him after
Skippy.
I love it. Well, Dixie, my name is Andrew James, and we are so thrilled to have you here today. I wanted to ask you real quick where the idea for this show came from, and what was the pathway to get it to off-Broadway?
Hi, Mr. Andrew. Well, you're so sweet. Listen, I started selling Tupperware in 2001. It's part of the conditions of my parole. My parole officer, she's so sweet. I got out of prison. She's like, "You need a job to get your kids back." And I was like, "I don't really want them." But the law makes you take your kids back. It's just a hassle. You know, I'm willing to march against that law because it's just a dumb law. We need to change it. But, and so I started, she said, "Why don't you sell Tupperware?" And at first I thought that was crazy because I thought that was something that old ladies did. But then I went to my first party and I did it, and I had, well, first of all, the host gave me free drinks. I said, "Listen, you mean I can drink while I'm at work?" And I'm sold. I'm staying forever. So I started doing Tupperware parties, and I did real well, and it just grew and grew. And then I went to the Jubilee, which is the big Tupperware convention that they have every year.
All right.
And I saw all these people getting recognized and being cheered on for what they had done and their accomplishments and success and everything. And I thought, holy crap, I want to take this all the way. I want to do as much fun as I can. And then a friend of mine who's the director in New York, before said, hey, you know, you're real pretty. And I said, stop talking when we're in bed or whatever. And so he said, you should turn this into a show. And I said, well, I've never even been doing a show except for that one time I did that thing around the pole, but nobody had dollars. They only had quarters, and quarters are hurt when they're thrown at a distance. And I said, listen, I don't know if this is right for me. And he said, well, let's take it to New York and try it out and see if it works. So we took it to this little theater festival in New York City, and it got all this tension back in 2004, and then it just blew up. So I had a couple producers saw the show then, and they're like, you're so neighborly, I like you, and they had peanut butter. So anyway, and so it ended up, 3 years later, it ended up running off Broadway in 2007.
Wow.
And I had so much fun. It was crazy. We had a real good run there, and then we launched the tour in 2008, and I've been touring ever since 2008, going into different cities all over the world. I've been in 5 different countries now. I've been in places I didn't even know had food. It's crazy. But it's so fun, and I'll be in a city until, you know, my ankle basically goes off, and then the police, I know they're right on my heels, and I just go to the next one. So
no, they got other things to do in L.A. You don't got to worry about that here. You're good.
Yeah.
You're good for at least 6 months, girl. I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, you're in the right place in Los Angeles here, Dixie, because you're very glamorous. I can tell by the photographs that we were sent of you.
Stop it with your nice words. You are so sweet to me. I appreciate that.
No, seriously, you should get a job on TV, maybe doing the weather or something, and Tupperware all at the same time.
Wow.
That'd be nice.
You know, I was in Chicago, and I was doing, they had me on the TV when I did my run in Chicago for a couple months a few years ago, and they said, we want you to come on and do the weather. Holy cow, do you know, it was so funny. I did the traffic and the weather, and they say they didn't tell me that I'm not supposed to wear green, and it was during the holidays, and I had a green, a red green outfit for the holidays, you know, and my skirt was green, and so my whole skirt went away, so it was just like my body was floating on the thing, and it was so funny. At one point, we were doing the traffic, and there was a traffic accident, and it was kind of right where my crotch was, but so I was like, ooh, everybody's getting excited, be careful on the freeway, you didn't know what you're gonna see. And so it was so funny that just happened to be that way. But yeah, and then since then I've been able to be on TV when I promote the show all over the country, and people are always asking me, oh, go to the weather and the traffic again, because that's so stupid, and it made me giggle. So I said I will, because, you know, I want to help people with their daily commute and to make sure they don't get rained on their head and everything.
Yeah, that's very important.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not hooked already, then I don't know what else we can do. Ladies and gentlemen, the name of the show is Dixie's Tupperware Party, and it's starring our guest here today. Now, I got to ask you real quick, this runs in Los Angeles just from November 28th through December 30th. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you've got 2 weeks left.
6 shows a week. I'm at the Kirk Douglas Theater down in beautiful Culver City, California. And so this is the beginning of my, like, we're in the middle of my 3rd week of shows there. And I tell you what, first of all, it's such a great city. It's so cute down there, and it's gotten so big. I mean, my understanding is it's grown and grown and grown throughout the last couple of years to be quite a great place. There's all these restaurants and shops and really neighborly people down there. And then the theater is right down there, and it's been there for a while. But now the whole city is built up kind of around the theater. And yeah, so I do shows Wednesday through Sunday, and it's a great little thing during the holidays, because, you know, your in-laws come in town and you don't want to talk to them, so they give you an opportunity to go sit and do something fun with them and not have to look at them for a while, which is real neighborly. It's what I do. It's my Christmas gift back to everybody, you know, like I do. And it's a fun show. Like, a lot of people say, oh, Tupperware, that just sounds like something for old ladies. I'll tell you what, we have, you know, the people come in, the date night come in, we got men coming to the program, we got the homosexuals who just smell like glitter on Sunday, really. And so everybody's coming to the show and just having such a good time, because food storage is not lost on just little old ladies. It's everybody needs it.
That's true.
Well, one of the great things, too, is we love the Kirk Douglas Theater, but it's a great atmosphere to go see some theater. Free 3-hour covered parking right there in near City Hall. You can get it validated at the Kirk Douglas. Now, has Kirk Douglas come to say hi to you yet?
He has not. You know what? It's so funny. They have me parking in his parking space, and they said, hey, if he comes, you're going to have to get out. And I said, all right, if he comes, I'll make sure that I'm real neighborly, and I'll back my car up, and I'll try not to run over him, because he's so neighborly. I can't stand it. I remember him from seeing him in all them movies and everything. Such a talented, talented man. But he hadn't been there yet. But all these other people, I'm getting, what's so funny is we're getting little people that I know from film and TV that are popping in and doing things. Little people from soap operas are coming in in and saying, ooh, and I said, I remember when I saw you naked doing that thing that I'm not supposed to tell your lady friend about because you're doing it with somebody else because I watched it on the TV in the stories. And I get so excited about it, you know. But yeah, it's been so fun to see all the people coming in and having a good time with me. And the thing about the show, because a lot of people think, oh, it's just me doing a Tupperware party on stage. It's not. It's a, you know, the whole show is about, it's a show about empowerment, self-empowerment, and taking yourself, picking yourself up from your bootstraps and doing something better with your life and having a greater vision for yourself. And it's all told through the allegory of a Tupperware party, because back in the day, you know, Tupperware was the way for so many women to get back on their feet after being kicked to the curb after the war effort, when everyone was Rosie the Riveter and working toward the war effort in World War II. And this, what Tupperware was, which was so amazing, was it was an opportunity for people then to get back out into the workforce and make money for themselves and be bigger members of their family and community and everything. So it's actually a really great, great story. So I took that story and paired it with my Tupperware party, and now I just make people smile and giggle. And it's real interactive. So people get up and they get to join me on stage and help me with some of the demos, and I meet people right there and talk to them and you know, share their stories with everybody. So it's real fun. It's a real nice, fun family kind of collector thing. I like it.
Well, and sure to make people smile and laugh,
yes,
no
indeed.
Doubt about it.
And to get tickets, we're going to give you specifics here right now. Tickets are starting at $35, and you can go to the website DixiesTupperwareParty.com. Very easy to remember, DixiesTupperwareParty.com, or phone 213-628-2772. And they do have a group sales number as well, which is 213-972-7231. As Andrew said, free 3-hour covered parking at the Culver City Hall with validation. Parking rate is $1 for each 30 minutes thereafter, but you're safe if you get there on time and get a space, right?
That's right. And she's on stage now through December 30th.
You get coming in, you park your dang car, you get yourself something to drink at the bar, you come on in, I make sure you get back in your car before you have to pay for parking, because I'm a giver. That's
right. So you better watch out. I got the voice of God coming in hot.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Uh-oh. Now, Dixie, this is something we do on our show here where we ask performers like yourself who have toured all over the world to tell us maybe their worst moment on stage or at an audition or on a film set, something that maybe made them think, I can't get through this, but the show went on, and like all young performers must learn, they eventually saw that it's live theater and anything can happen. Do you have an embarrassing moment that's happened to you?
You know, it's funny. I've been so lucky and things have gone pretty good, except I will tell you, being on the road so many years, I have had 5 different times now that we have had a fire alarm or somebody pass out in the show where we've had to have paramedics come in. It was interesting. I did my show here at the Geffen Playhouse back in 2014, and the opening night of the show, there was a fire alarm in the theater. Now, if you know the Geffen Playhouse at all, there are 2 separate theaters side by side, and so there were 2 shows going on at the same time, and all the staff from the Geffen went in and helped everybody get out of the big theater, because there's a bigger theater and then a medium-sized theater, and they got all the people out of the bigger theater, and all the people that was on the stage, they got them back where they were safe and everything.
Wow.
But they sort of forgot that we were opening. So people thought it was just part of my show. And I said, what kind of show? I just had a fire alarm going off in the middle of a dang program. What's wrong with people? And so I had to just sort of take people Pied Piper style out across the venue, out of the venue, across the street, and over under the grassy knoll right across the street. And we were just all sitting there. And I think, well, what the hell's going on? And I had to sit there with all the audience, just entertain them for another half hour. But the funniest dang thing was there was this sweet little old lady that was crossing the street, and the fire truck was there trying to get past her. And it was a visual. You had to see it. But the fire truck kind of beat to have her move faster. And she looked at that fire truck, and she put her finger up. And she's like, don't you beep at me. It's a fire truck. It was so funny. It
made
me chuckle so hard. And then I ended up doing like a half hour more of just sitting home alone doing a program, just entertaining people, having a good time and tap dancing and everything to make sure everybody was taken care of. And then someone from the theater comes in and said, ooh, sorry, we forgot. Everything's clear. You can go back in now. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay, well, we'll start up again. And so I just shepherded everybody back on in, and we picked up the program right where we left off. So
wow.
It was just an adventure. I know. Listen, I have one time, and I won't tell the theater to protect the innocent, but there was one time that a lady came up to me. She had been sitting through the whole program, and I had people that can sit up on stage if they want and go through the program with me so they feel like they're part of the party. And this lady had just kind of a somber face through the whole thing, and she wasn't really laughing that hard and everything. And I thought, oh, I hope she's okay. She maybe was going through something that day or something. And at the end of the show, she made a beeline to me, and she said, I tell you, I thought this was the funniest thing I've ever seen, and I may have made TT on the seat. And then she just walked right past me. She kept going. And we laughed so hard, and I said, okay, we got to see this. And I walked back into the theater, and these were like leather couches that the people on the stage were sitting on. And there was, sure as God, there was a tiny little circle of petal sitting right on that dang seat. And I was like, my God and Savior, look what she has done. I've made her petal right on the seat. What are you going to do?
Well, in Los Angeles, that's as good as a standing ovation, man. I got to tell you.
It was. I mean, if you can sit in your own petal through a show, it's as good as a standing ovation as far as I'm concerned. I feel very proud of that. I do. I feel proud. There was one time, it's funny, there's this lady, this senior lady, that she started choking and coughing, and we thought, oh my Lord, we're going to lose her right in the middle of the program. And so we went over. I was like, oh my God, are you okay? Is everything all right? I had said something apparently that made her laugh so hard that she coughed her fake teeth into her hand. She had dentures, and they were not secured enough. She actually coughed them into her hand, and she was laughing so hard and choking that we thought we was going to lose her. And so we just had to sort of re-affix her teeth back in and just went on with the program. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Dixie, do you you don't live in Los Angeles, or do you?
No, I live in Mobile, Alabama, but I travel all over the place.
Okay, I know you were from Alabama. I didn't know that.
A short time a while ago, and did a bunch of Tupperware parties when I was just starting out. Mm-hmm. So that's how everything started. But I'm living back in Mobile now, and I'm on the road all the time. I'm hardly never there, which is great because I don't have to see my kids. But every once in a while, they'll say, hey, Mommy, let's do that Skype thing, you know, and then they'll put the computer on, and then I have to watch them, and why is there a bloody handprint on the wall? Why is the cat missing the leg? What is happening there at the house? You know, and so finally I just say, I can't hear you. I'm going through traffic. And then I shut the computer door. I don't want to see what kind of shenanigans they're getting up to. Kids, they're so sticky.
Listen, we cannot thank you enough for being with us on December 13th here in beautiful Los Angeles at the Kirk Douglas Theater, which is part of the Center Theater Group. And what an amazing talent you have and have
you're sweet.
Entertained audiences all over the country for so long. Please don't forget to tell our mutual friend DWI hello from Michael Sterling and Andrew David James.
And I sure will. You know I will. She's the agent sent straight from Baby Jesus above. I'll just make sure she's not drinking when I talk to her next. Okay. Sometimes if she's drinking, she don't remember things that we talk about.
You do that.
One more favor we got to ask you, Dixie. Will you promise to come back and talk to us again next time you're in town?
You know what? I will come anytime. Like Mama says, it's always good when you come, and then when you come again, it's even better. She is so sweet. What a wise lady.
We can't wait. Ladies and gentlemen, right. Dixie Longgate.
Bye bye.
Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. You too. Bye bye. Wow, Michael, I need a nap. I need a nap. That's all the energy I have for the day. Now I got to tell you, if you are ready to get out of the house and have somebody else do all the work, you got to go see this show. It's called Dixie's Tupperware Party.
Her energy level is extraordinary.
That's right. That is awesome. But she is not the only one who has great energy. We've got Johnny here who we're going to talk to in just a little bit. Some cool things going on. But Michael, before we do that, we should take a little break and maybe pay some bills by thanking our sponsors.
Absolutely.
Yes, do that.
We'd like to thank Princess Cruises, ladies and gentlemen, for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month September to August, one lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion ships in the fleet's line. So make sure to enter every month for your chance to win. That's very easy to do. You can go to latalkradio.com, go to the State of the Arts page, which is on Channel 2. You'll see the Princess logo. Click on that. That'll take you into the registration process. You can do it as many times as you like. And what you're getting for this is a $5,000 gift from Princess Cruises, if you should be the winner. So keep it up and enjoy a fabulous time.
That's right. Right? That's right. Yeah. We'd also like to acknowledge.
We can't go.
I could go.
Yes, you John could go. And you could maybe take me and Michael as your guest. So I'm just saying.
My wife, you guys. Right? Take my wife.
Easy. Wow. Okay.
It is.
Not what
plus
I would have said.
One, not
yes,
plus
I
three.
My wife would say, I'll definitely not take my husband. So I think we're on different pages here. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
And we are so privileged to have these amazing resources for the arts. Well, Andrew, you know that. Tell me a little bit about your week, by the way. I want to get that out of the way because we haven't seen each other for a week.
That's right. It's been a week, and we've had kind of a crazy week. Of course, I had Christmas Carol for the past couple of weeks. I've been running back and forth. It went well, despite the fires and all the difficulty up there in Thousand Oaks. People flocked out to the theater and just really positive responses. It's interesting to see what a unifying thing theater is. People get out, they sit, they laugh together, and they leave more relaxed. I think we forget that sometimes because it's not always that way with a movie. You're trying to get your car, all
these troubled times. It's a chance to forget about the things that are going on around you and appreciate things such as the arts, which is very important, as we always say on this program.
That's right.
To get up off the couch, put that remote down, get into your car, take your children, and take them to a live arts experience, and it will start all sorts of creative, wonderful ideas for them. Right?
There's no doubt about that. Obviously, I had a bunch of fun stuff to do in the meantime. I went out and hung out with Carrie Francis, who I love so much.
Good, wonderful photographer.
Great photographer.
Who photographs us.
Yeah, she did. She did. She took time to come to us, but she's also doing all kinds of great things now. A number of TV stars have her coming in, so she's all over the place. If you want to check her out, you can go cafoto.com. You can just check out Carrie Ann Francis on Google. Just type in either CA Francis or Carrie Ann Francis photography. She'll pop up. She's amazing. But Michael, how was your week? Did you get out to see any theater?
You know, I did not get out to any theater this past week. I was doing the whole Christmas thing and trying to get that ready so it wouldn't be so last minute. And, you know, the dogs were sick for a week, for all of last week, both my pups, my beagles. And, yeah. But they're all better, I must say.
Are they okay now?
They're okay. We had to go to the vet and change their diet and do all sorts of things like that. Yeah. It was okay. Wow. $400 later.
Of course. Yeah. Every time they get sick. But now these are beagles, and beagles are known to have occasional health problems, and they recover very quickly, right?
Yeah, well, it was pretty quick, I should say. Yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah, they're in good shape.
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm glad to hear that your show is open.
Thank you.
And that you're safe because you live in the Point Dume area, and you've just gotten back into your home recently, right?
That's right. That's right.
And as far as the show is, why don't you plug it and say how people can get to it?
Well, so Christmas Carol just closed. We just closed after 2 weeks.
Oh, you did
just close. Yeah, we just closed. We had a great, great time, and it's a yearly show, and this is going to be our 25th anniversary in 2019.
Wow.
That show's been going on consistently for 25 years, rotating cast, people like Walter Koenig from Star Trek and Eric Christmas and Hamilton Camp, and of course now Ed Hall and Alan Hunt in the cast. Some really great talents.
And you've been playing Bob Cratchit for how many years?
I've been doing Bob Cratchit for 4 years and in the show for 12 years. Just finished my 12th year.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a fun project and certainly something I look forward to this time
of
year.
When I came to see you, you were very good, and the show is beautiful to look at.
Very kind. We love it. And, of course, we're under the 5-star label now. So Patrick Cassidy was there for a performance and said very nice thing. And 5-star has a really cool season coming up. Matilda, West Side Story, lots of good stuff going on. So some fun things there, too, in Thousand Oaks.
We're going to get Patrick on the show very soon to talk about the new season.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No doubt about it.
All right. So let's get to our next guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is a California native who grew up in Colorado, lived in Wisconsin, New York, and Finland before returning to California. With a resume that boggles the mind, he worked as a ranch hand, a newspaper reporter, and an engineer before turning to a career in opera.
Wow. In Martina Majak? Majax? Is that how you say that? Hmm? Am I on the wrong page?
I believe we're looking at top of page 7.
Oh, there we are. Sorry.
You could have had some extra credits,
that,
Johnny.
Wow, that was...
Yeah, I know.
I didn't even know what that was.
I know, nor did I.
What did I do? I remember doing that.
I was speaking Chinese, actually.
At this stage, you just take the credit, you know?
It's I did that, too.
During his time, this is what I meant to say, during his time at the Space Astronomy Lab, he was part of a team that constructed a telescope that was set up with the space shuttle.
He took a job as a flight tester and flight tested airplanes for Boeing, was a helmsman at the on a destroyer in the Navy, and had his own skateboard shop. You've covered all modes of transportation, haven't you, my friend? He also worked as an operative for the private detective agency and currently is a software engineer when he isn't on stage.
How did all of this happen?
That's a question.
Well, that's what we're going to find out. He's here to tell us about that and his one-man show that explains it all. Here's Johnny is the name of that show at Theater West, a lovely theater in the Cahuenga Pass here of Hollywood. This Saturday, one night only, December 15th, please welcome the truly multi-talented Johnny Ferretti to the show.
You are. Thank you. Unfortunately, they have to stand in the parking lot of the Jaguars.
We keep them directly behind the camera. Just directly behind the camera. Johnny, wow. Okay, so now I was looking you up a little bit last night because my job is to stalk people on the internet before they come on the show. Nice job, because when I do it in my private time, nobody likes it, you know? So when you were there, I was reading over ranch hand, engineer, you flew jets? That's insane. You test drove jets?
Well, I wasn't the driver, which what they did you call do? The pilot. I was an engineer.
Wow.
So I was on the plane.
Right.
But I wasn't actually driving it like the pilots.
Right.
Those guys were ex-Vietnam fighter pilots.
So this wasn't a simulation program. This was the actual plane.
Actually,
goodness.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Exactly. Unbelievable. Yeah. And I was an avionics engineer, and I worked the autopilot is what I specialized in, and specific flight modes, which is takeoff and landing.
Wow.
And so one of the things that we did, the test that I did like hundreds and hundreds of times, is we would take off, and these are big commercial jets, right? You take off, and then you cut the fuel to one of the engines.
So that sounds fun.
Wow.
Yeah, because the autopilot is supposed to be able to handle that, and it mostly did.
Wow.
No, it always did, because I wouldn't be here if I didn't always handle it.
You seem like you're the kind of guy who could get a parachute and make it work one way or another.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot of planning that goes into all the flights so that there's no danger involved, you know.
That's kind of like those gliders when they shut off and you start gliding back down. I mean, I've done it once, and it was horrifyingly scary.
I read a story just recently about a hang glider who was doing his thing. He took off, and he was way, way up at the peak of his flight, and he looked down, and he realized he forgot to strap himself in. So he was just hanging on his own power. Of course, you can't let go to strap yourself in. You just have to descend and make it work. I remember thinking how terrifying that must be, and how you have to kind of go into survival mode, you know?
Wow, that's
very
terrifying.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was.
What's your favorite project you work on? And then I want to hear how you ended up going from all these different things into opera. This sounds like an amazing story.
Crazy.
Well, you know, it's hard to choose a project because I have so many interests and I want to do something, and then I've done it, and then they come, okay, what's the next thing? I think the favorite project was when I had my clothing company. The skateboard shop, I had a clothing company. I actually started it because I had the sewing machine that my sister had given me when I was
poor. You knew how to sew?
Well, I taught myself. I was poor at one point, and my sister gave me this old sewing machine, and I was buying stuff from Goodwill and sewing them up. And then I decided, well, I'm going to make my own stuff, you know? And I was going to clubs, and I was I'd find some crates, some fabrics like fake fur to make shorts and pants out of, and I did that. And then when I started the skateboard shop, I started doing them for customers. And it became really popular, and then I got contractors, and then I was doing advertisements and going to trade shows and taking pictures with Tony Hawk and everything, and that's
Tony
my
Hawk.
Favorite project.
That's amazing,
I made like 5 styles of jeans. Now, I am one of the major people who you can blame the gigantic pants trend.
We blame you just specifically. We blame you for a lot of stuff, but that's one of the things
that's
we blame
one of the
you
things,
for. So you started that. You started to promote that and got that out there?
Yeah, and I also had, I had a style of jeans that I had, it had a... I called it the 40-ounce pocket, and I don't want to tell you why. But I did that, and then all these other companies, let's make this gigantic back pocket that you can't even get your hand in.
That's where I put my extra Thanksgiving leftovers. I just shove them in that back pocket.
Put a turkey in each one of
the whole turkey right there,
That's
but
amazing,
what do you mean,
man.
The big pants. I'm not familiar with.
Oh, come on, where we cinch it up with the belt.
Remember the '90s with the gigantic pants that didn't fit and they had to wear a belt. And
careful now, that's still my style. You got to be.
Unfortunately, people still wear that stuff.
They do. I mean, absolutely.
I'm not ashamed of it, but I wouldn't wear big pants like that anymore.
Well, you know what? I want to ask you this, since you're a designer of clothing and have been. What do you think about the jeans for guys that have? They're so low. They wear them so low that they are, you know, the butt is just kind of around their knees and ready to come off, you know, and that's a trendy thing to do. It's not.
I believe the technical term is busting a sag.
Busting.
That's a sag is just low. That's I don't know what you call that, but I've seen guys they're walking. Like, I mean, it's. Well, I don't. It's look. It's a point where if they're low and you can see a guy's underwear.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, sometimes you can see that anyway because your shirt comes out, whatever. Right. But when it's so low that you can see space between the top of the pants and, you know, the crotch.
Yeah.
You know, that's ridiculous.
See, I think it's a common misconception because the reason my pants do that is because I've just finished a show and I finally lost the 20 pounds I gained while I was stressing about getting my next job. The pants just start sliding off little by little.
Well, that's unintentional. But this is intentional. And I just don't get it. I think it's the most unattractive look that a man could possibly give himself.
I would agree with you. Yeah. Besides not having any pants at all, which I saw on the subway recently.
We usually do pantsless Thursdays, but I guess that's out. Michael's getting all strict now.
Yeah,
I thought
right.
We were irreverent here, and I got to wear pants every
irreverent
day.
Irreverent is one thing.
Unbelievable.
Lewd is something else.
Exactly.
It's very just, true.
You know,
very
it's
true.
The, you know, when you can see, it's just, yeah, it's, why? I don't even have any, why?
Okay.
The name of the show, ladies and gentlemen, is Here's Johnny, and it will be on Saturday, December 15th, 2018, 8 p.m., Theater West. This is, of course, a great place to go see a show.
It
even
is.
After this new location.
Place.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Easiest way to get tickets is go to theater, that's theater with an R-E-West.org, or you can call 323-851-4839.
Now, tell us about the show.
Okay.
And tell us about your life as an opera singer. And you're doing, you're singing opera in this show, as well as comedy and storytelling and everything else, right?
Oh, my God. Okay, so first of all, I have to correct you on the name of the show. It's called Here's Johnny.
I'm sorry, one more time?
Here's Johnny.
I'm getting Ed Hall on the phone right now. I'm going to do it.
Oh, no, my Here's Johnny is actually from the Jack Nicholson.
I love it.
Because I have a lot of people who come to me, I mean, on the subway, you look like Jack Nicholson.
Really?
For years and years, yeah.
And that's integrated into the show?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay, I'm going to strike that hashtag here real quick.
You know, there's so much in the show that it doesn't come up.
Wow.
I mean, I would, but I had to cut so much of the show to make it less than 2 hours, you know? It's not 2 hours. It's not anywhere near, it's an hour and something.
Wow.
But
no intermission.
I don't scare people.
No intermission?
No intermission. Okay. It's an hour and
cool.
That's smart, actually. No intermission.
Cool. I love that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is I wanted to do a one person show and I did it a couple times at rental theaters and I brought friends in and I didn't know what to name it. And so I was talking to my wife and I go, well, I got to do my show. I have to do promo for my, I have to do postcards. I said, the show that must not be named. And it's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. But it has nothing to do with Harry Potter. So I did that a couple times because I had no better name for it. And then I thought, oh, well, you know, a bunch of people said, you look like Jack Nicholson, strangers. So I said, well, that's good because it kind of gives my kind of attitude. I'm a little bit of a irreverent guy, you know. I really don't take stuff seriously, you know, and so that's where that came up. Now the genesis of it is have you ever heard Diva on the Verge?
Yes.
So I saw that. Julie McGinnis.
Okay.
Julie McGinnis, and it was her show's brilliant. She does this show where she acts out these operas and she does it funny and she talks about her life. And that was one of the big starts, the big impetus for it. But I don't do operas. I do musical theater and I sing opera in shows. I do legit plays and stuff, but I'm not like a legit opera singer. I just do sing opera and I love it.
What got you started though with it?
It's kind of an accident. So I
the accidental opera star. I'm putting that as a hashtag right now.
I mean, here's the thing. I was in an acting class with Milton Katselis, great acting teacher who's passed. But he said you have to take voice lessons because you have to work on your voices. And
Okay, so I took the voice lessons, and you have to sing in these voice lessons. I guess that's how you work on your voice. Mm-hmm. And so we did musical theater and popular songs, and then because I have Italian blood, we sang some, brought in some Neapolitan folk songs like O Sole Mio and stuff.
Very cool.
So I, when I was driving, I'd go, what next can I bring to my voice lessons to that I would like to sing? And I was going around the dial, and then I came up to the classical station, and they, as luck would have it, they were playing. Now, I'm going to give up the major punchline to my show.
That's
accidentally.
Okay.
But hey, if you come to the show, forget this. But it's important. They were playing a tenor aria at the time, and I sang along to it, and oh, my God, this is... You know, when I had played the bass guitar and I couldn't get it to express the emotion that I was feeling.
Right.
And I did that for 3 years, and I go, I can't do this. Like, it's not doing anything for me. And so when I started singing, I go, there's something missing. There's something I really want out of that song. It has to do something.
Right.
And then when I got to, I started singing along in the car to this tenor aria that was sung by Pavarotti.
Wow.
And I sang, I didn't know the words, and I just blah, blah, blah.
Sung by who?
Pavarotti.
Okay.
Pavarotti.
You got a little talent,
you said
that
it
guy.
So beautiful.
Thank you.
You
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I know. It's like, yes. Yeah. So and I sang along, and you get to the high, there's always a high note at the end, high long note. And I didn't really have much technique at the time yet, but I sang a high note without ever, no one ever telling me how to sing
wow.
that high note. Oh, my God, it felt so good.
Wow.
Really?
It just, it
felt natural.
Tears to my eyes, how it just felt like, you know, as an artist, you want to express.
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
And the feeling of being able to express that emotion through song or an instrument is what you want.
That's right.
Art is a communication.
That's absolutely
all
right.
It is.
That's right.
And if you can't communicate through your instrument,
right.
You got nothing.
That's right.
Right? So, which is a problem I have with most art and stuff, music that I hear today, is what are you communicating? What mm-hmm. are you communicating? Nothing. So I felt that emotion that I felt that came out of whatever thoughts I was having at the time came out, and I go, oh my God, this is what I'm looking for. And so I was so scared of it. It took me 3 years to bring
wow.
it to my voice teacher.
Wow.
So
but
I did.
You did, and now and, you're doing it.
Yeah, I did, and then I learned some, and then eventually I in my acting class, I sang a song as a, you know, we do scenes and stuff, and I,
right.
it was so terrible.
Who do you study with?
I was Milton Katsalas.
Oh, with Milton. Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't for him. I did, you know, one of the teachers, and oh my God, it was so terrifying. And I did a musical theater song just to dip my toe in performing waters because it was horrible. It was horrible. It was embarrassingly horrible. But the next time, I brought an aria to class, and it was just amazing.
Don't you think that the whole process is to free yourself and with something that you're not accustomed to doing? I would assume that's why. Milton went in that direction with you as an actor.
Yeah, could
and
be.
That must have been, you hitting that high note must have been very freeing for you. So
you can't, I just, you know, sometimes you have what you, it's like a religious experience when
yeah.
you're on stage, even
right.
in a play or something, mm-hmm. and you come off and you go, oh my God, it was like, and that's what it was for me.
What a cool
and,
thing.
Yeah.
Well, let me be sure I get this right, ladies and gentlemen. The name of the show is Here's Johnny. On stage December 15th, 2018, 8 p.m. at Theater West. A great, great place to go see a show. Easiest way to get tickets is go to theater. That's theater with an R-E, theaterwest.org.
That's right.
Wow. Now, Johnny, I got to tell you, it's coming up. It's coming
Uh-oh.
Time.
And now, what? Embarrassing Moments.
And if that sound cue wasn't long enough for you
yeah.
to think of one, I've got like six other on my board
okay.
right now.
No.
Embarrassing moment, something like we did with Dixie, something embarrassing
yeah.
that happened that showed you the show can go on.
Well, okay, so I was auditioning for Disney for Jafar in
Aladdin.
Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Aladdin. I'm glad I came up with that name. Thank you. I was Aladdin, and you know, theater auditions are stressful. Musical theater auditions are 10 times more stressful because the people are so serious about
That's
it,
right.
and they have these pianists who are amazing, and you say,
mm-hmm.
I want to do this, and they know it.
Yeah.
Or you throw them a piece of music, and they know how to play it immediately. Just, I mean, that's amazing. It's
mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you go in there, and this is for Disney. So the pressure was like 500 times more
this
than
is the national tour?
This is for down in
at the park.
Disney,
okay,
cool. at the park.
Very
yeah.
cool, very cool.
So, so I went in there, and I brought this piece of music. It was, I think I brought... Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat.
Wow.
Little Guys and Dolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not really my best song, but I had to do something musical theater that I knew, And I brought it in there, and the music that I brought was not my key.
Uh-oh.
And so when I started singing it, it was like, oh, it's, wait a minute, I'm so off key here. And, like, and I started singing, and I could see their complete disdain. Like, who is this guy? Why did we bring him in?
Yep.
And then, you know, they like, thank you. And it's like, and I left there feeling so crappy.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. It's a, but you know what? I have my own show now.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've gone back and you've sang other places and you know you can get up and do it again. It's interesting, too.
Because take that, Disney.
Take that, Disney. Yeah. Well, it was my fault. I didn't make sure I had, you know, the right music. So.
Well, we've all had moments like that, too, where we realize that we're not at our best and we still have to get through it. I love that.
Did you not ask the pianist to
transpose
it in your right key? It could have been done, I'm sure. Right?
You know, here's the thing: is it just devolved, and I'm like, is not, you know, this is this is not the the key that I normally sing in. I don't know. This is a different, you know.
It's you can't
one of those,
do it.
You know,
can't
you're
do
just
it.
Sweating. That's this right. is that flop sweat moment.
That's
where
right.
It's like I have shown myself to be a complete unprofessional, and even if I do that, the frowns have already started. The it's all a down, you know. It's over. I knew it was over. Long beef, and especially when I tried to explain it, and it was like, "Thank you."
Well, don't call us; we'll call you, kind of thing.
Yeah. Didn't.
Well, I got to tell you, that's one of the things that happened to every performer at one point or another during their career. Something's gone horribly wrong, and you just have to walk out and come back strong the next time.
Mm. When did you decide that you wanted to write this show about yourself?
Okay, so I do this thing. I was doing like showcases with my vocal coach, and I was singing these songs, and I go, and Julia McGinnis, you know, you've got to steal from the best.
Right.
She does this thing where she translates the song as she goes along. And so I picked a song to translate as I go along. Mm. And just, I do two different separate people. So it's like the dramatic with the, I don't care, whatever, here's the thing that I'm translating. And the juxtaposition of those two attitudes and those two characters was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I just so love doing it because I really hate seriousness. I really hate it when people are serious. It just drives me crazy, you know? So, and that's one of my major themes, you know, because...
You got to go see Dixie's show because I don't think she's serious for one moment during that show, man. She had me laughing nonstop.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little example of that?
Okay, so the name of the song is Que La Mi Creda.
Okay. A very serious title.
Yes. So, remember, it's really serious and somber.
Right.
Okay, so...
Get serious, Michael. Come on. Yeah. Serious and somber. Yes, here we are. Okay. I'm getting my somber muscles going.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do this... in the show, I do it with my dad's Brooklyn accent. Mm-hmm. So the name of this song is Que La Mi Creda. The first line is, let her believe that I'm free and far away. Que la mi creda, libero e lontano. On a new path of freedom and redemption. Sopra la nuova via, di redenzione. She'll wait. Aspetterà. For me to return. And days will pass. E passeranno I giorni. And days will pass. E passeranno I giorni. And I will not. E Dio non. And I will not return.
Wow.
Yeah, that last note was like Jennifer Holliday in Dreamgirls.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. You killed it. You killed it.
And that is the note. That is the thing that said, God, I want to do this.
Yeah.
I just feel like it. Oh, my God. It communicates, and I feel like I've
awesome.
Given something to the audience.
Yeah.
I want people to leave happy. I don't like shows or books or short stories where at the end the people that you like die. Or they, you know, it's stupid. You want to feel better. Make people feel better about life. Don't
sure.
make them feel worse because you think, well, I don't know, this is, you know, let's be different than everybody else. You know, let's show how life really is. Well, we know how life really is. Let's know how life could be if you have a good attitude, if you don't take things too seriously, you know?
Get out there and have some fun, it sounds like. And it sounds like people leave your show feeling good, yeah?
Or crying.
One of the two. I love that.
But
that's
fantastic. Does the singing come later in the show? Is it kind of a surprise?
Oh, it's all in the middle. It's all like, I try to keep a song every, you know, so often without killing me with, you know, sing opera. I've sang opera for like a, like do private shows.
Sure.
And weddings. And I sang opera for like an hour and 10 minutes straight.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, I did that for an hour. How did I do that? Because, you know, it's a lot of time to be singing, straight singing, you know.
Wow. Now, do you go to see opera?
Sure, yeah. My wife and I, we've been to the L.A. Opera many times. I saw, oh my God, I saw all five-hour operas.
The
Ring Cycle. Yep. Here. Oh my God, it was amazing. I did fall asleep through when I was in one of them, Siegfried, I'm sorry.
Siegfried and Roy?
Yeah,
that
when
one.
When Roy came on, but
that was a shock to the audience.
It was just, I mean, the sets were spectacular.
I worked with a girl who was in the Ring Cycle, Lori Barron, who was amazing. And I hear that, you know, I mean, this, all of that, they do a full production. I mean, it's really amazing.
Yeah, it's a very, it's, you know, we have one of the best I've heard, because I haven't been to like Vienna or whatever, but we have, I'm told, one of the best opera houses in the world now because of Placido Domingo.
Mm-hmm.
Who's, you know, he's the artistic director.
Artistic director, right.
And his grandson is now, know his grandson.
Getting chummy with his grandson?
He's down in San Diego now.
He might end up working at the Disney Hall.
I might. Who knows?
Get your tickets, ladies and gentlemen, for Here's Johnny, Saturday, December 15th, 2018, 8 p.m. So this is one night only at Theater West, which is, of course, a great place to see a show. Once again, if you want to get those tickets, just call right now, 323-851-4839. How much are tickets going to cost when they call up to that number?
$25.
A great price, a great price. Mm-hmm. TheaterWest.org. Again, that's theater with an R-E.
And,
of course.
And can they not also go to Seaside Motel Productions at gmail.com?
Right. Yeah, you can email me at seasidemotel@gmail.com. And if they email me within the next day, I can possibly get them $20 presale tickets.
Hey, now.
You can Venmo me. And
I heard it here.
I will give them a ticket.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's a great, great deal. $5 off. You give them a, drop them an email at Seaside. That's S-E-A-S-I-D-E Motel. productions@gmail.com, and you get yourself a little discount for buying early. We hope you all take time to go out to see this show. We also want you to go visit Dixie at Dixie's Tupperware Party, now on stage at the Kirk Douglas Theater through December 30th.
Absolutely.
Does she sell Tupperware in
the
show?
She does.
I mean, in the actual show, they have Tupperware available?
I believe
they
she's
do.
One of the highest Absolutely. Grossing Tupperware salespeople of all time.
Well, if she's not doing it in a theater, she does it in private homes.
Does she sell seashells at the Tupperware show?
I believe there's seashells for sale at the Tupperware sale table right outside. I believe that's correct. We'll have to go see her and check it out. I certainly think that our guests today were awesome. We want to give them both a round of applause for being here.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Dixie. Thank you, Johnny.
Such a blast here. We want to say a big thank you to all our listeners. I believe they can check us out on Facebook Live
today,
can't they?
They
come
can.
Come see what our ugly mugs look like, man. I tell you, log on there and check us out. And then you got to be sure also to visit our webpage, enter the Princess Cruises contest, and win yourself that gold medallion room for two. What a great, great deal.
Yeah, that stateroom.
No doubt about it.
The balcony. Right.
And as always, you can find us on Instagram, State of the Arts LA. We look forward to seeing you next week. And Michael, where will I see you?
That would be on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.